Last month was the end of an era in Czech poetry. The man who practically embodied the poetic underground of the 1970s and 80s, Ivan Martin Jiroš, also known as Magor or Loony in English, died at the age of 67. Not only was Magor one of the best Czech poets of his generation, he was also the driving force behind the underground rock scene. He embodied the longing for rebellion and freedom, as so-called normalization sucked the air out of Czech and Slovak society. In Czech Books, David Vaughan talks to one of Magor's close friends and associates.
With his long hair, his love for the provocative and outrageous, and poetry that was completely unfettered by the absurd constraints of socialist realism, Ivan Martin Jiroš became a symbol of the dissident underground, every bit as much as his friend Václav Havel. In the years after the 1968 Soviet invasion, he was best known for his work with the underground music scene, most famously the cult rock band The Plastic People of the Universe, and he proved brilliant at organizing and coordinating concerts under almost impossible conditions. Magické noci, počal čas, procházka z toho, jeden čas. In the early 1970s, Jiroš also introduced the poet Egon Bondi to the band, and from then on, the Plastic People's lyrics drew richly from Bondi's poems. Bondi was 15 years older than Jiroš and was a huge inspiration to him. "Without you, Bondi, I'd be done for," he wrote in one poem. Both were passionately and creatively iconoclastic. Gradually, Jiroš became known as a poet in his own right, and long after the fall of communism, this culminated in his being given the coveted Jaroslav Seifert Award in 2006. For the rest of the program, I'm going to be talking to the literary critic, editor and translator, Martin Machovec, who knew Ivan Martin Jiroš for nearly 40 years. He remembers his rather strange first meeting with the poet, at a time in the mid-70s when the police were clamping down heavily on the underground cultural community. Both were on their way to hear Egon Bondi reading poetry at a secret venue in Klukovice, on the edge of Prague.
I remember that we got on a bus and we saw some long-haired guys there, and I asked one of them if they were going to Klukovice as well. I remember he turned with his back to me and never answered back. And so I wondered, what were you wrong? And so they got off at the bus stop, and so did we. They started walking away in the direction of the pub, and we followed them. And so in the middle of the field, they stopped and waited for us three left to come. And so then we were on the spot. They surrounded us and wanted to beat us because they suspected us of being, let's say, police spies. And when we presented the invitation written by Bondi, they immediately started apologizing. I remember, well, the Jiroš, he was, of course, proved to be the most aggressive of all of them, immediately started excusing himself, saying, well, you have to understand, guys, you know, we've had this trouble before, etc. Well, and so this was the way I made friends with Jiroš.
And Jiroš was well known, wasn't he, for making no compromises with the regime? I mean, even to the extent of sometimes being aggressive towards the regime or provocative to the regime, wasn't he?
Undoubtedly. Well, that's why he started to be nicknamed as Magor, which probably, well, could be translated as Loony, was one of the suggested translations, and I think it would fit. But, well, what would it mean? Well, he undoubtedly always behaved in a rather irrational way. So people, rational mind, should tell us, stop here, stop, be more cautious. And he never did. He did behave in the so-called normalization years as if there had not been any normalization. He always wanted to behave as a free human being, and he paid dearly for it, of course. So that's why we admired him, because had it not been of his courage, the whole of the movement would probably collapse much earlier.
And he ended up being jailed several times, I think at least three times, didn't he?
Five times altogether. And for the fourth time, it was the harshest imprisonment. He was imprisoned in the prison of Valjice among murderers and the prisoners who were sentenced to, let's say, 15, 20 years in prison for the worst possible crime. So, well, it was very much reminding of, let's say, extermination camps.
It's actually just about the biggest compliment that a totalitarian regime can give to a poet, isn't it? To treat the poet as a political threat. Because in most societies, the fate of the poet is to be constantly on the margins and to be considered as irrelevant by most people. Here it's the exact opposite, isn't it? That Yeros, Magor, Luni was somebody who they were really terrified of.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, well, this one of the paradoxes that actually, well, he was able to write his best poetry when in prison, when in his harshest years he wrote his masterpiece, Magorove labuti písne, Magor's swan songs, when he, well, definitely must have suffered immensely during those 3.5 years in the prison of Valjice. So, well, of course, but it was not so new. And just the 1950s saw similar atoms. Many excellent Czech and Slovak writers and poets were imprisoned, and, of course, to say nothing about what had been going on in the Soviet Union in the 20s, in the 30s, in the 40s, in the 50s, etc. So that was it. But, well, here, Yeros's role was really extraordinary. As he was an excellent organizer in the early years. It was thanks to him that the whole of this rather anarchistic movement of, let's say, rock fans started to take shape, and then he was able to organize those unofficial gigs and then keep it in secret. He wrote, he described all of it in his seminal text called Pravdivý příběh, Plastic People, the True Story of the Plastic People. So we can easily get to all important data concerning this career. And only later on, he gained reputation of poet. Well, in his early years, he did write poetry, but it's so conspicuous that, well, although he made several anthologies of underground poetry, he never included any of his texts until the early 1980s. And only in the 1980s, in the mid-1980s, he gained this reputation. It's a paradox to say thanks to his imprisonment.
So he wrote some of his best poetry in prison. You mentioned Magor's swan songs, or Magorove labuti písne. Let's actually hear you read a short poem from that collection, which I shall then read in translation.
Neplavil jsem se po mořích a přece sedím v lodi. Nade mnou nebe, ve mně hřích, dva věrní lodi vodi. Na místo stěžně vstyčen kříž, tak pořád doufám, že mě něžně nad vodou podržíš.
I didn't sail on any sea, and yet I now sit in a ship. Above me heaven, inside me sinful debris. Two faithful pilots on a trip. Instead of a mast, a crucifix grows tall. So I keep hoping you will gently hold me over the water and above the squall. We can see from this short poem that here's Magor, loony, with this slightly insane, slightly aggressive image, capable of writing very lyrical poetry.
Yes, that's right. I would say I would share the opinion of literary historians that this collection that was written in the mid-1980s in the prison is one of the best collections of poetry written in the second half of the 20th century in this country. Yes, there are texts that are extremely tender, and on the other hand, they are very provocative texts, full of blasphemies, full of offenses, full of four-letter words that seem to be, in general, unacceptable for poetry. And so that's what made his poetry so attractive also.
And it's also interesting, you talk about the blasphemy, that when Ivan Martin Yeros died in November this year, the memorial service for him was led by the Prague Catholic Bishop Václav Malý. So there's a paradox in there as well, isn't there?
Well, yes, well, not perhaps so much, because, of course, they were friends since, let's say, the dissident years, although now, of course, the Bishop Malý represents high clergy, so to say. So, of course, that was one of the many paradoxes of Yeros's life. Well, there were actually two services. The one took place in Prague, the other one in Kostelní Vidří, where Ivan Martin Yeros was buried, and then the service was held by another priest who also quoted some of his poetry during the service. place, including some of the very provocative verses about how he detested Christianity because of collaborating with the communist regime, etc. Also, by the way, included in Magor's swan songs.
And throughout the period of communist rule, one of Magor's key principles was this idea of no compromise with the regime. After the fall of communism, political realities get a great deal more complicated, and it's no longer really possible to hold that stance. Did Yeros find it very difficult after the fall of communism to adapt to the more ambiguous political situation?
Well, undoubtedly, well, it's not only my opinion that he must have found it very, very difficult. So at the beginning of the 1990s, I remember when he was released from prison, and, well, there was no chance to talk to him because he was... Well, I don't think I'm exaggerating too much when I say that, well, the 1990s, he spent drinking very, very heavily, traveling as well, trying to make up for the lost time, undoubtedly. But, well, there was no longer any opportunity for him to do what he did, in which he proved to be so useful in the 1970s as an organizer of gigs. Well, so that was no longer necessary for him. So he went on writing poetry, but it was only in the late 1990s that his poetry started to be published, and so he was discovered only after 1997, when the thick volume of his collected poems called Magorova Suma was published, so when his, let's say, colleagues, poets and writers realized that, well, this troublemaker or whatever seems to be an excellent poet. But as far as, let's say, the new political, well, the democratic system, I think that at the beginning, Yeros, as most of us who remember those years, he was in favor of, let's say, his friend Václav Havel in his role of a president of Czechoslovakia, later on of the Czech Republic. But soon, well, in a couple of years, he started to be disappointed. And so he ended up in his later years as a very radical opponent of, let's say, today's political establishment. And so he many, many times spoke about how disgusted he was of today's political and social situation of today's Czech Republic.
Let's end with a last very short poem by Ivan Martin Yeros, Magor, Luni. Again, this is a poem without a title.
Krásná je hora Mont Saint-Michel, já nejdál do Valdic jsem přišel. Moje básně jsou samý klišé, na hubě vyrazil mi lišej.
Here it is in English translation. Mont Saint-Michel sure is striking. The furthest I got was Valdice by hiking. My poems are full of clichés, like sprouts on my trap Exmer's broken out. There's a reference there to Valdice,
which I mentioned before, that was the prison in which he had to spend almost 3 years. And this is the place where he wrote this collection of poems, Magor Swan Songs, Magor Labočí písně.
And what is it that particularly appeals to you about this little poem?
This is a good example of the way how Magor wrote with rhymes and rhythms, how he was able to introduce into his poetry texts or facts that are in general considered to be unacceptable for poetry. So again, well, he wrote about this provocative rhyme, cliché, liché, etc. Mont Saint-Michel, well, definitely shows nostalgia about the beauties of the Western world he's going never to see again in his life. I think he did later on, but, well, of course, he can't have believed in seeing, well, such a beauty of the West as Mont Saint-Michel in France is. So, again, so this is something, well, that he was able to, in just four lines, to express, again, was sort of a nostalgia, but which again is confronted with his irony or sort of a cynicism of the facts taken from prison, from the life of everyday life in prison. So Yeros is able to, in let's say a few lines, to express inner drama, something that, well, is full of tension and full of the atmosphere of this harsh prison, this harsh jail, at the same time with his spiritual life that still went on when he was in prison.
And Ivan Martin Yeros is going to be greatly missed. He was only 67 when he died. Do you have a fear that further generations will no longer understand this kind of poetry and the context that created it?
Yes, I do. Of course, it's always very difficult to try to predict. Well, I can't speak on behalf of future generations. Although, let's hope that it is the kind of poetry that will speak to generations to come, especially thanks to the excellent sense of humor, self-irony. So let's hope that, well, such terrible places as the Valdice prison will be forgotten, but Jiros' poetry will live on.
Martin Machovec, thank you very much indeed for talking to me.
Thank you too.